It's a joy to be with you today. If you brought your Bible, find the book of Luke, if you would. Find the book of Luke again. Find chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. So glad to be saved. I don't know about you, but I'm grateful for the grace of God in my own life. I want you to pray for me. I'm going to break a homiletical rule here that I've oftentimes told my students not to do, and that is elicit mercy or prayers from the audience or before you preach. And that is because I'm a little bit under the weather this morning. Not that I'm on my deathbed or anything, but I'm certainly dealing with something that's respiratory in nature. And so I ask you to just pray for me as I preach today. I'm not really sure what's going to happen. My voice might fluctuate between Dr. Adrian Rogers and Porky Pig somewhere in there. But so anyway, remember me in prayer. We made the decision this morning not to bring my son. My wife stayed home with him. He's been dealing with respiratory issues and that kind of thing. And he was wheezing all night. And so I made the decision to leave him at home today. And so anyway, nevertheless, we're certainly grateful to be with you today. The book of Luke, we started a sermon series last week at the end of the book of Luke entitled Why We Cannot Lose. And frankly, I just want to pick up and finish this particular sermon today and make some application and rejoice in the fact that we have victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so we're in the book of Luke, chapter 24, and we're going to look at a very simple message today, and really a really simple narrative as well, as we meditate on what God has to say to us. Luke chapter 24, and here's what the Bible says, all right, in verse 50 and following. Luke chapter 24 and verses 50 and following, and I might tell the guys to also be ready to key up verse 49. We're going to be going to that a little bit later, okay? All right, Luke chapter 24 and verse 50. The Bible says this, and it led them out as far as Bethany. Now, the he there is the Lord Jesus Christ. The them there is the disciples. And so he's taking his disciples out, as Dr. Luke would continue to write in the book of Acts chapter 1, there to the Mount of Olives, which is also Bethany. And the Bible says, and he lifted up his hands, and he blessed them. And if you were here last week, you know that that is a significant, significant event. The Lord Jesus Christ gives them Aaron's blessing as he ascends into heaven. And many of you know from last week that we don't want to miss the fact that we are introduced in chapter 1 to a priest that is a failure, a priest that failed to give the Aaronic blessing to his people. And here Dr. Luke is letting us know that Jesus is indeed our high priest, the one who makes intercession for us and gives us access into heaven. And so what a beautiful, beautiful thing to know that Jesus intercedes for us and that we have access to the very throne of grace. So many people were happy this week and thankful and during Thanksgiving for the common graces of God. But I don't know about you, but I'm grateful that I have an intercessor. I have an advocate. He's better than Johnny Cochran or anybody else. And I've been a sinner, and I am a sinner, and I'm grateful for the forgiveness that I have through this intercessor. And so when we look at verse 50, that he blessed them, that really speaks of his high priestly work and the fact that he is our intercessor. And that's one of the reasons we can't lose, because Jesus is our intercessor. He continues to intercede for us. That's one of the reasons also that I believe in the eternal security of the believer, because Jesus ever liveth to make intercession for me. And so I might sin until I'm glorified. I will sin, but I'm grateful that I have a forgiving Savior that intercedes for me and who is my intercessor. And so we see that in verse 50 and verse 51. While he was blessing them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And verse 52 says, and they, after worshiping him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising God. Let's pray together for just a moment, and then we'll put our ear to the text. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your grace. And even though the preacher might not feel very well today, we know that, Father, you cannot and will never develop laryngitis. You always, by grace, speak to your people, even through the foolishness and feebleness of preachers, because your word, Lord, is inspired, it's infallible, it's inerrant, it's eternal. Father, it breaks cedars, it gives life, victory, hope, revival, healing, grace, mercy, everything, Father, comes through the heard word. And we pray that in the name of Jesus, your voice would speak in a mighty way today. Lord, there's somebody here that needs to be saved. In the name of Jesus, as we draw near this Christmas season, I pray that, Father, that they would, as the Bible says in John 1, receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. Father, we love you. We pray that you do that great work, and we also pray that you'd continue to edify and strengthen your church, and thank you for the graces we have and the fact that you, Jesus Christ, the one whom we go through to the Father, you have access to the Father, and you give us access, and we have every need met by your name, Father. We love you. We thank you. It's in Jesus' strong and mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, again, we're in a series entitled Why We Cannot Lose. And the first reason we can't lose is because Jesus intercedes for us. But what I wanted to do today is I want us to look at this next verse. Not only can we not lose because Jesus intercedes for us, but we can't lose because Jesus empowers us. Now, look down here at verse 50, and it's a very simple phrase, but I want you to notice exactly what is taking place. The Bible says there, in verse 51, while he was blessing them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. Now, you say, Brother Byrne, I see where you get this intercession in verse 50, but I don't see necessarily where you get the fact that Jesus empowers us in verse 51. Well, it's as simple as this. In verse 51, the Bible says this, he went up. And do you know what happened after he went up? The Holy Spirit of God came down. And it's as simple as that. We need to understand that Jesus Christ not only intercedes for us, but he also empowers us. And what I'm talking about here is the work of the Holy Spirit of the living God. In fact, when Jesus went up on the day of Pentecost, 40 days later, 10 days later after they'd been in prayer, the Holy Spirit of God descended and empowered the church, and indeed the church was born. I don't know if you know this, but I'm not looking at an impotent people. I'm not looking at somebody that is powerless. I'm looking at a twice-born child of God that has the Holy Spirit of God. If you've been born again, the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Godhead, the very same one that raised Jesus from the dead. In fact, the Bible says the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead indwells you. I want you to think about that for just a minute. No wonder we can't lose, because Jesus Christ not only intercedes for us as our high priest, verse 50, but he also empowers us. He goes up and then he sends forth the Holy Spirit of God to come down. Now, do you remember in the book of John how disappointed the disciples were when Jesus told them, in John chapter 14, he says, hey guys, and I'm paraphrasing here, this is Vern Charette's translation, but I'm getting ready to bounce. I'm getting ready to depart. I'm getting ready to leave. And the disciples were very sad and discouraged. And you want to know why they were sad and discouraged? Because they had walked with God in the flesh for over 3 years. In other words, they had, in the tabernacle, they had read about the Spirit of God descending during the Old Testament days, and they had the Spirit of God descending in the New Testament tabernacle. Well, it's Old Testament as well. They built the tabernacle, but when we get into the New Testament times, certainly the tabernacle, temple has been erected. But nevertheless, you had the presence of God manifesting and being there, and the Jews had access through the priest in those days. But now Jesus Christ, who is incarnate during this Christmas season, we worship the Lord and meditate on the fact that God is with us. And for three and a half years, the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, walked with them. In fact, that same vocabulary is used in John chapter 1. Says the Bible says that he tabernacled with us. The word was made flesh, and he dwelt. That word dwelt there is tabernacled. Verse 14, he tabernacled with us. And so the disciples had God in the flesh for 3.5 years in their presence. They fellowshiped with God. They walked with God. When they were hungry, God performed a miracle. When they were in need, God met their need through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he disappoints them by telling them, guys, I'm leaving. Now, they came to understand later that he was talking about leaving them through death, but he meant more than that. He meant that he was going to ascend and he was going to leave them, and that made them very, very sad. In fact, here's how he begins John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. And that word there, troubled, carries the width of the idea of water that's white capping. Don't have turbulent, white capping hearts. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, you believe also in me. For in my Father's house, our house is, you know, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Love that promise, don't you? And Jesus is letting his disciples know, I'm getting ready to leave, but don't worry. And then here's the beautiful statement that I want to get to today in terms of thinking about Jesus empowering us. He goes on to say in John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, I am going away, just like it says here in verse 51, he's going to depart. He says, I'm going away, but he said, I am going to send you another comforter. You guys familiar with that terminology, another comforter? The word comforter there is paraclete, parakletos, but we in English we call it the paraclete, and it comes from two Greek words, para, which means alongside of, it's a preposition, and kaleo, I call, parakaleo, paraclete. And so you're familiar with the word, the preposition para. If you fall out of an airplane, you need a parachute to come alongside and aid you. If you are sick, you need a paramedic to come alongside and aid you. If you've got some legal issues, you need a lawyer and a paralegal to come alongside and aid you during your legal difficulties or whatever it might be. So we know what that word para means. And then to call alongside of, Jesus says that I'm going to call somebody alongside you disciples. He's the paraclete. He's the Holy Spirit of God. He's the one that comes alongside and comforts us. He's the one that comes alongside us and empowers us when we need the power to live the Christian life. But here's what I want to say. When he said, I'll send you another comforter, he could have used two different Greek words there for the word another. Allos or heteros. One of them, heteros, means another of a different kind, and allos means another of the same kind. And you say, well, Brother Vern, it doesn't matter which word he uses. Yes, it does. To the disciples, it did. Because he didn't tell them, I'm going to send you heteros, another of a different kind. But he said, I'm going to send you allos, another of the same kind. And that was very comforting to the disciples, not only to know that the Holy Spirit of God was going to come and comfort them during his absence, but the Holy Spirit of God was also going to treat them and act like toward them the very same way the Lord Jesus Christ did when he walked with them when he was on the face of the planet. So, Jesus promised to empower his people by the Spirit of the living God. Jesus empowers us, and the disciples received a tremendous amount of word, a tremendous amount of encouragement from that word. Here, the Bible says he goes up and he's carried up into heaven. Dr. Luke would later write in the book of Acts chapter 1, the Holy Spirit of God comes down. But I want you to notice, even from the text, that I'm not reaching to make this point because it's the very last thing that Jesus told his disciples. If you'll back up there, I'll begin reading. They'll put verse 49 on the screen, hopefully in just a moment. But I'll begin reading the very last thing the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples. And you can also find this reiterated by Dr. Luke in the book of Acts chapter 1. It says, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations beginning from Jerusalem. Verse 48, You are witnesses of these things. Verse 49, and behold, I am sending forth the promise. Here it is. And behold, I'm sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. But you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Now, I want you to notice here, the very last thing the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples before he ascended, verse 51, was that he was going to send forth the promise of his Father upon them. Now, when you read this word in the New Testament, the promise, what exactly is that referring to? We have to go back to the Old Testament, and you have to read your Old Testament, and you will understand and know that the promise there has to do with the Holy Spirit of God. In fact, throughout the Old Covenant and under the Old Testament era, the Holy Spirit of God did not operate the same way that the Holy Spirit of God operates under the New Covenant. Did you know that? In fact, we as New Covenant believers, we as New Testament believers, we have actually an advantage over the Old Testament saints because of the way the Holy Spirit of God operates in our lives. Let me tell you that under the Old Covenant, the Holy Spirit of God was temporal. In other words, the Holy Spirit of God in the Old Testament could come upon a person, but a person like Saul could sin so egregiously, God could remove the Holy Spirit from that person. So it was temporal. It was targeted. The Holy Spirit of God under the Old Covenant would come upon different individuals. And some did not have the power of the Holy Spirit upon them the way Samson did or the way David did. And so it was targeted. But the Holy Spirit of God under the Old Covenant was also task-oriented. He would come upon certain individuals, like those weaving those garments in the temple. He would give them the power to do what they needed to do. So it was task-oriented. It was temporal. It was targeted. But God made a promise in the book of Ezekiel, in the book of Jeremiah, that one day the Holy Spirit of God would not only come upon certain individuals, like certain Israelites, but that God, and here's the new covenant promise, would indwell Israel. And God would become residential in their lives by way of the Holy Spirit of the living God. And that's what we call the New Covenant blessing. And that's exactly what took place on the day of Pentecost. The church was born when the Holy Spirit of God descended from heaven and indwelt every single believing person there in the upper room. And every single person subsequently that would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ would receive the indwelling power and residential ministry of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, I'm glad the Holy Spirit of God does not come in on the visitation ministry. I'm glad that He comes in residentially. He comes in to stay. Under the new covenant, when the Holy Spirit of God indwells you, you are baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. You cannot lose that new covenant blessing called the Holy Spirit of God that indwells the church. In short, don't let your Pentecostal or second blessing friends tell you that you don't have the Holy Spirit of God unless you speak in an unknown tongue. Every single believer that receives the Lord Jesus Christ is indwelt, receives the Holy Spirit of God at the moment of their conversion. And so we are empowered by the Spirit of the living God. Now, this is what I'm excited about today. I've got a secret to tell you. I want you to lean in here, and I'm going to give you a secret today, all right? Now, this is going to help somebody tremendously here, but I want to give you a secret. Lean in here closely and listen very closely to me. You ready? Here's the secret. You ready? You can't live the Christian life. That's the secret. Did you know that? And so many young believers give their lives to Christ, and then they fell miserably, and they are tremendously discouraged because they thought that they could live the Christian life after they gave their lives to the Lord. And I want to let you know something. The quicker you learn and understand that you can't live the Christian life, then the more happier you will be, because then you will be introduced to the doctrine of the Spirit of the living God. You can't live the Christian life, but God by his grace gives you the third person of the Godhead so that he might live the Christian life and empower you to obey him inwardly and by grace. You can't live the Christian life, but here's the secret. God can live the Christian life through you. Now, you might challenge me, and you might say, Brother Byrne, I can obey the Bible without the work of the Spirit. Well, let me tell you something. Let's start out with one simple command. You ready for this? Love your enemies. How about that? You think you can love your enemies? By the way, some of you are Spirit-filled, and you still have trouble loving your enemies. You think you can love it? That's a very simple command. God says that you're to love your enemies. Hey, before I got saved, before the Holy Spirit of God indwelt me, I want you to know my philosophy was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I had no part and didn't have the ability to even think about loving my enemy. But guess what? Then I gave my life to Jesus. The Holy Spirit of God indwells me. And now by grace, if I'll surrender to the Holy Spirit of God, I now have the power to live the Christian life. And we'll take it a step further. Love my enemies. How about just love one another? How about avoid bitterness? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Be kind, verse 28 and verse 20, I think it's 48 and 49 right there. Anyway, nevertheless, Ephesians chapter 4, the end of Ephesians chapter 4. Avoid bitterness. Be kind. Chapter 5, verse 1. I'm certain about that one. Copy Christ. Chapter 5, verse 2 of Ephesians, display love. I mean, you think you can avoid bitterness, be kind, and walk in love while you're copying Christ without the work of the Spirit? No, we need the Holy Spirit of God to indwell us to live the Christian life. He's the one that gives us the power to walk victoriously in him. And again, if you're a young believer in here, the quicker you understand that you don't have the ability to live the Christian life, the sooner you will begin to ask the question, how can I live in the power of the Spirit? Now look there again at verse 49. Look at what the Lord Jesus said. He said, and behold, I'm sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. Okay, the promise is coming upon you. That's the new covenant promise. But Jesus said to his disciples, you are to stay in Jerusalem. You're to stay in the city until you are what? Clothed with power from on high. Don't you love that language? The Lord says, I'm going to give you the Spirit of God that's going to clothe you, not with defeat, but God is going to clothe you with power. He said, Brother Byrne, I'm facing a difficult circumstance. The Holy Spirit of God clothes you in power. Brother Vernon, I'm facing a Goliath. I've got a difficult person at work or in my family, or I'm struggling in this particular area in my life. The Bible says we are clothed with power from on high when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you are Marvel? Well, don't raise your hand here. How many of you, however, it's a rhetorical question, are comic book fans? Marvel, DC, all that stuff. Those movies have generated literally billions of dollars. And one of my favorite comic book characters is Iron Man, Tony Stark. And one of the reasons I like Iron Man or Tony Stark is because really he has no supernatural power in and of himself. In fact, if you were to meet Tony Stark in a dark alley, I'm certain that you could take Tony Stark in a fight. There's no doubt about it. I mean, he might be rich, he might be handsome, but when it came to fighting Tony Stark, I'm certain that you could beat Tony Stark in hand-to-hand combat. But oh, don't let that man unite himself with that Iron Man suit. Because when Tony Stark, as rich and handsome as he might be in the natural, when he puts on that Iron Man suit, all of a sudden Tony Stark is clothed in power. He puts on that Iron Man suit, and all of a sudden that earthbound man now has the ability, because what he's clothed in, he now has the ability to fly. He now has the ability to shoot fire out of his palms. He now has the ability to withstand any attack from his enemies. And ladies and gentlemen, when I read this text, I love the language the New Testament uses for the Holy Spirit of God empowering the church. It says, we are clothed, we that are natural, we that are earthbound, we that have no firepower in and of ourselves, we that cannot defend ourselves. When we are clothed with the Holy Spirit of God, all of a sudden the natural man puts on supernatural capabilities. And all of a sudden we have the power to do supernatural things based on the fact that the Holy Spirit of God clothes us in power. And so that's one of the reasons we can't lose today. And I'm very grateful for the grace of God and the fact that Jesus intercedes for me. But he also is the one who's carried up into heaven and gives you the Holy Spirit of God who empowers us to live the Christian life. Now, let me ask you something today. Are you taking advantage of that new covenant promise? Now, you say, Brother Byrne, how do I take advantage of the new covenant promise? How do I take advantage of the fact that Jesus gives me the Holy Spirit of God? Here's what the Bible says. Number one, make sure you're saved. Because the moment you trust in Jesus as your Savior, God indwells you by His Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord. So number one, start by making sure of your salvation. Number two, even after you're saved, even though there's one baptism by the Spirit into the body of Christ, there are subsequent fillings. There are many fillings by the Spirit. And so the way that you take advantage of the power of God in your life and the third person of the Godhead that indwells you is you surrender your life to the Spirit of God. Now you say, now, brother, wait a second, Brother Byrne. We had a revival last year, and man, I surrendered my life to the Spirit during that time, and I was filled by the Spirit. I went to Falls Creek, and I had a wonderful time with the Lord as I resurrendered my life to the Lord. Well, what you need to understand is that you need to surrender your life to the Spirit of God, not just last year, not just last week, but that is an everyday occurrence for the child of God. If you're going to find victory, you're going to find victory because you have learned the secret to the Christian life. The secret to the Christian life is not pulling yourself up by your bootstraps and determining that you're going to be a more loving person, or you're going to be a more kind person, or that you're going to be a more dedicated person. That's going to leave you in utter failure because you're trying to do it in the arm of the flesh. It also becomes legalistic, which is going to frustrate you because you never can meet those standards. But if you will learn to surrender your life to the Spirit of God and allow God to work in you and through you, He will indeed give you the power to be victorious in the Christian life. And so one of the main four spiritual laws that you need to understand is you need to surrender your life to the Holy Spirit of the living God. A number of years ago, there was a famous American tennis player by the name of Andy Roddick. And listen, I'm a sports fan. I'm not necessarily a tennis fan, but I kept up a little bit with Andy Roddick simply because I knew something about Andy Roddick. I knew that he was on record for serving a tennis ball at a then world record pace and speed. Andy Roddick could serve a tennis ball at 154 miles per hour. I want you to think about that for just a minute. Think about Andy Roddick standing on that baseline. You're on the other baseline with your tennis racket, and Andy Roddick serving the ball, legally, by the way, at 154 miles per hour. It's one thing to try to hit it. I would have trouble seeing a ball coming at me at 154 miles per hour. I want you to imagine that I decided, or you made the decision, Brother Byrne, I am going to serve a tennis ball at 154 miles per hour just like Andy Roddick. And so the way that I'm going to do that is I'm going to go out and I'm going to watch all the video of Andy Roddick that I can watch. I'm going to study his technique. I might even do an interview with him. I'm going to buy the same kind of racket he has. I'm going to buy the same shoes that he has, wear his little Lacoste gear, all that stuff that he does. And at the end of the day, you can try as hard as you like to try to serve a ball like Andy Roddick at 154 miles per hour. But I guarantee you, as much as you study him, as much as you imitate him, as much as you try to excel to that degree, you are going to utterly fail. Now, your serve, like mine, might go up from 12 miles per hour to 15 after it's all said and done, but you're going to utterly fail. You're going to be nowhere in the neighborhood of 154 miles per hour. But if I was a wise man, and if I had the ability, I would do something like this. Now, it's a little bit weird, but just track with me for just a second. What if I had the ability to unzip myself and allow Andy Roddick to come and live on the inside of me? What if I said, hey, Andy, I invite you to come and live in my body? And what if Andy Roddick was able to do that? Well, if Andy Roddick was able to get on the inside of my body, then I would step up to a baseline. If I was a wise man, I would have a tennis ball in one hand. I would have a racket in the other hand. I would step up to that baseline, and I would surrender my life to Andy Roddick's. And all of a sudden, Andy Roddick, his power, his life through me, would then serve the ball at 154 miles per hour. Now listen to me. You need to understand that the Holy Spirit of the living God lives within you. And that if you are a wise man, you should wake up every morning and you should pray a prayer like this and say, hey, dear God, I don't have the power, I don't have the strength, I don't have the ability to live the Christian life. And I want to ask you to do something. Would you serve through me today? And you need to surrender your life to the Holy Spirit of the living God. The Bible says this in Ephesians 5:18, and it's a present tense, passive imperative. It's an imperative, which means it's not up for debate. It's a command. It's passive, which means God does the work. It's present tense because God expects us to be filled every moment, not just yesterday, but right now and subsequently into the future. The Bible says, be filled with the Holy Spirit of the living God. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit of the living God. And so, ladies and gentlemen, Paul is giving us in Ephesians chapter 5 the key to living the Christian life. In Ephesians chapter 1 through 3, he gives you theology. Then in chapters 4, he gives you the practical aspects of living the Christian life. And after he wraps off and gives a litany of a number of do's and don'ts in the Christian life, then he gives them the secret. Here's the secret. Be filled with the Spirit of the living God. And so one of the reasons we can't lose is the fact that Jesus is our intercessor. And the second reason we can't lose and we can be victorious in the Christian life is because we have the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit of God to give us the power and the success that we need to live the Christian life. Okay? And so the question today is, are you taking advantage of that wonderful grace of God, the Spirit of God that is indwelling you? Let me put it this way. When's the last time you got down on your knees as a believer and said, God, I didn't come to you today to ask you to help me or give me this. God, I didn't come to treat you like a McDonald's restaurant today. But Lord, I came today just to ask you to fill me with your Spirit. And Lord, I just came today to surrender my life to you and ask you to give me the power to live the Christian life. Now, friend, if you are not regularly praying a prayer similar to that or just like that, then, friend, I can guarantee you one thing. You're trying to live the Christian life in the power of the flesh. You're going to be frustrated. You're going to be defeated. And you're going to be a legalistic Christian that doesn't enjoy the power and the joy that comes from being obedient by the Spirit of the living God. Now, the beauty is that all of us in here are failures, but we have a Savior by the name of Jesus. And he stands ready by the blood of Christ, not only to forgive us, but also through the Spirit of Christ to empower us to live the Christian life. And so if you're here today and you can't remember the last time that you've asked God to give you the strength to overcome a problem or an addiction or to give you the love necessary in a person's life that God has providentially placed in your life to teach you this great fact, then today is the day that you need to, first of all, repent for not surrendering to the Spirit. But number two, you need to surrender your life to the Spirit afresh and anew. It's not something that you do when you're saved. It's something that you do every single day of your life. And here's what I'll tell you. I want you to listen to me really closely. If you will surrender your life to the Spirit of God daily, moment by moment, you will victoriously succeed in the Christian life. There'll be joy there. There'll be power there. The anointing, the smile of God will be upon your life, and God will use you in a tremendous way. But not to surrender to the Spirit is to walk in the flesh, and to walk in the flesh will bring the fruit of the flesh, which will ultimately kill your spiritual joy in life that God intends for you to have. And so today, take advantage of that wonderful, wonderful arsenal that you have. Reach into your quiver. Pull out the fullness of the Spirit and surrender your life to the Spirit and let God set you free from walking carnally in the flesh. Would you do that today? Stand with me all over the auditorium. I'm going to ask our musicians to come. I want you to bow your heads all over the auditorium. And I want you to draw a circle around yourselves today. I don't want you to worry about anybody else except the person standing inside that circle, okay? I don't want you to worry about your spouse. I don't want you to worry about a friend or a family member or a church member that should have been here to hear that. God has providentially and sovereignly brought you here to hear that message. And the fact is, if you are losing, if you're not walking in victory, it's not God's fault. It's your fault. You say, Brother Vernon, what do you mean? I mean, he's given you everything that you need. There's an intercessor in heaven right now interceding for you and giving you eternal security. You've got a high priest that gives you access to the very throne of God's grace. But you also got the Holy Spirit of God indwelling you, giving you the power, clothing you in power, giving you the power to be the witness that God wants you to be, to live victoriously in Christ Jesus. And the fact is, if you're not walking in victory today as a believer, it's not because you don't have an intercessor. And it's not that Christ Jesus has not empowered you by his Spirit. The problem is you're not taking advantage of the graces of God in your life. And so you as a believer, you need to right now, right there where you're standing, resurrender your life afresh to the Spirit. There's somebody here, no doubt, that's got a coworker. And that coworker is giving you fits. You've got a family member that's giving you a hard time. You're struggling with some type of addiction. Something, some sin that you can't get free from. Listen, I'm not saying there's a quick fix and it won't be a fight, but I am saying the key is surrendering your life to the Spirit moment by moment by moment by moment. And he'll give you the power to overcome whatever Goliath you're facing in your life. So don't let the devil get the victory. Don't let the world get the victory. Don't let the flesh get the victory in your life. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. The Spirit of God gives us the ability and the power. Jesus went up so the Holy Spirit of God might indwell the church. And so be clothed with power from on high. Take advantage of it today. Don't sit on it. Don't leave this place intending to pull yourself up by your own spiritual bootstraps and live the Christian life. You can't do it. You cannot do it. And so in the name of Jesus, you resurrender your life to the Lord today. And then for the non-believer in here, The fact is, the Holy Spirit of God does not indwell you. And that could be the reason that you failed so miserably in your life. That could be the reason that you can't be active in church and you can't maintain a prayer life in a time of prayer, in a time of Bible reading, in a time of fellowship with God. That could be the reason that you're so hit or miss with trying to live the Christian life. And that's because you've never been born again from above. And so the Spirit of God stands ready to fill you. You say, Brother Vern, how can I be filled with the Spirit today? You've got to be baptized by the Spirit, and that's by receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And so God has brought you here to save you today. And so if you're here today and you'd say, Brother Vern, I've never received Jesus as my Savior, but I also learned today that if I receive Him, I receive a power to live the Christian life. And for the first time in my life, I understand that I can actually victoriously live the Christian life. And that doesn't mean that you'll be sinless, but that means that you will have an incredible power that if you'll surrender to, the Holy Spirit of God will not only empower you to live the Christian life, but He'll also direct you to the one where you can find forgiveness for your sins every time you fail. And that's a great, great thing to have in your life. And if you want that in your life and you need to receive Christ as your Savior, right there where you're standing, you say, Brother Vern, I'm here today and I want to receive Christ. I'm not certain that if I died right now, I'd go to heaven, but I want to receive Christ. I want the Spirit of God in my life. I want to be a disciple. I want to be a follower of Christ. If that's you right now, with no one looking around, just God inside that circle right now, would you slip up your hand and say, Brother Vern, I need to be saved today. Pray for me. I won't embarrass you. I won't call you out. And what you're saying is I want to receive Christ right here, right now, where I'm standing. If that's you, would you slip up your hand? Let me pray for you and give you some instruction. I won't embarrass you. I love you. Say, Brother Vern, I need to be saved today. And I'm not going to leave this place till I've received Christ as my Savior and Lord and been filled, baptized by the Spirit of God. If that's you, lift up your hand right there where you're at. Now, right now, I'm not asking for a show of physical hands, but I want to see spiritual hands lifted up right now. If you're a believer, you say, Brother Vern, I'm going to resurrender my life right now and this situation in my life to the Lord so that I can live the Christian life and so that He might serve through me. Lift up your spiritual hands to the Lord right now, to Him. Okay? Lift up your spiritual hands to the Lord. Do it to Him. Okay? I'm going to say a short prayer. When I say amen, we're going to give this invitation. If you need to join this church, if you need to be baptized to go 100% public with your faith, if you need special prayers, if you want to just come to the front of the church, there's just something special about bowing the knee physically and surrendering your life like that. If you want to do that during this time, we'll give you a couple of minutes to do that. But no matter what, you make sure that if you raised your spiritual hand to the Lord and said, Lord, I'm in need of a fresh filling, then you need to, like a person that's under arrest, give and surrender your life to the authority called God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You do that today during this invitation time. Father, we love you. In advance, I praise you for what you're going to do. We praise you for your grace. Thank you for making us more than victors. In fact, Father, we are more than conquerors, the Bible says, because of you. Thank you for the Spirit of God that gives me the power. And if I'll surrender to that, I know that I'll have the victory in Christ Jesus. We love you. We're glad for the grace of God and the blood of Christ that cleanses us for our failures. Lord, we're glad that we can leave here with joy. Even in the midst of failure, you've got the victory through the blood of Christ. We lean on it. We trust in it. We joy in it. We have satisfaction and contentment by the blood. Draw us to it right now. It's in Jesus' strong and mighty name we pray. Amen.